name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, by your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful king.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been
and everything else that he had. and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles, who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O, visit me with thy salvation.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Lord, help me. He answered, "It is not right to take the children
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was
mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle for this day, the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, verses 2 through 5 and verses 7 and 8. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. In the words just read, St. Paul is addressing the Christian congregation in the city of Thessalonica. And he is addressing them in the awareness of the judgment that is to come. As we just said, when confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, we believe that the Lord Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Now, the city of Thessalonica was a large seaport town of the Greco-Roman world, a world in which sexual immorality was regarded as being of no more ethical consequence than eating and drinking. In a word, the attitude toward sexual matters was extremely, shall we say, relaxed. And in some forms of pagan religion, sexual immorality was in fact a necessary item in worship. Temple prostitution, to be exact. For several centuries, our own dear city of Baltimore has also been an important seaport. And it's very interesting to see what the first pastor of our synod in this city had to say in a letter sent back to his native Germany. It was Pastor Friedrich Winneken, writing way back in 1838, who made these observations. Numbers of those who already in the old country had sunken into the mire of profligacy here indulged with all the greater zeal their beastly inclinations, having no reverence whatever for sacred things, and knowing no restraints of the merest outward decency. And then Pastor Winneken continues, horror and dismay fill me even now while writing these lines, when I remember the shamelessness wherewith vice, not hidden in the darkness of night, but in the broadest daylight, struts about the streets of this seaport, and how I here found the grossest indecency and the most disgusting dens of vice. Well, it seems that conditions in first century Thessalonica and early 19th century Baltimore were not all that different. And so we ask, what about conditions in this second decade of the 21st century? This much, I think, can be said without danger of contradiction. So many things that were once unmentionable are nowadays incessantly talked about and shouted from the rooftops. Well, not really from the rooftops, but most certainly from our television and computer screens, in our newspapers and magazines, from the internet and all the so-called media with which we find ourselves saturated. Already, more than 30 years ago, that distinguished Christian scholar Louis Bouilhet wrote in these terms of a world no longer pretending to be Christian, but indeed presenting us at last with a full realization of what an atrocious kind of paganism only a world boasting of having become post-Christian could produce. We seem to live in a world which, in a painfully real sense, has simply lost its way. It is an altogether deplorable situation, and my heart goes out especially to children who are growing up in such a world marked by the devastation of holy marriage, of the family, of what formerly were unquestioned decent relations among human beings, to say nothing of the virtue of modesty, which seems utterly to have been forgotten. We read in the book of Genesis, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So male and female are not arbitrary labels, notions dreamed up by human beings. They are the way in which God, in fact, has created human beings in his own image. So the question then is, how should we as Christians respond to all this? The first thing that needs to be said is that we must avoid the temptation to self-righteousness and scornful pride toward persons who are caught up in all this. As has often been said, one should hate the sin, but love the sinner. Like every last one of us, people who are broken and deluded in these ways suffer from that inborn evil that we call original sin. The original sin which makes it so easy for us to ignore what God has said and instead to follow the promptings of the world which lies in evil and of the devil. So, remembering that we ourselves are only poor, miserable sinners, as we in fact say in the confession at every divine service, we must, like our merciful Savior, see these people with eyes of compassion. Can anyone doubt that unless we in fact love them in sincerity and truth, we can be of absolutely no use in helping them to free them from the bondage they all unknowingly suffer? As Saint Paul writes, look to yourselves lest you too be tempted. In dealing with all of this, it is dangerously easy to become unwitting servants of the devil, who, as St. Paul also says, disguises himself as an angel of light. A second thing that needs to be said is that we need to focus not so much on the ugliness of sin as on the beauty of holiness to which God in his great mercy has called us. For when God claimed us for himself in holy baptism, he claimed our whole self, not only our spirit, but also our body. Our body received the sacrament of holy baptism, and our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are fed with the holy body and precious blood of the Savior. Not only our spirit, but also our body is destined for glory. We need to take to heart the words St. Paul addressed to Christians in that other seaport town of Corinth, which was in fact plagued with the same vices as Thessalonica, even incest. He writes to the Christians there, "Shun immorality. Every other sin which a person commits is outside the body, but immoral persons sin against their own bodies. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Yet, lest anyone despair, we all must keep firmly fixed in mind the words of St. John. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, from all sin. Finally, we need to understand this. We need to grasp this, that what finally is at stake here is not only the estate of marriage as instituted by God himself in creation and blessed by our Lord Jesus through his presence and first miracle at the wedding in Cana. What is at stake here is also the very way in which God has chosen to reveal himself to us. First, as Israel's husband, and finally, through his Son, Jesus Christ, as the heaven-sent bridegroom of his bride, the church. St. Paul says of marriage, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "This is a great mystery, and I take it to mean Christ and the church." So God intends marriage to be a living picture for human beings, a picture embodying his love for the human race. And because this is so, it follows that when marriage is cheapened, when people live together outside the bonds of marriage, and when marriage is counterfeited by arrangements that are nothing of the kind, this living God-given picture is defaced. It is, in fact, as if a madman were deliberately to vandalize a precious work of art. Having said all this, we need always to come back to the consciousness that we are all, without exception, called to repentance, because we in fact sin against God not only in word and deed, but also in our thoughts. And who would be so bold as to claim that his thoughts are always pure and holy? I think that question answers itself. And our sins in thought are also sins for which the Lord Jesus suffered and died, as we sing in one of our Lenten hymns, "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the word the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God." And in the light of all this, I think that a fitting conclusion to this day's sermon is the prayer which now has been prayed on this second Sunday in Lent for well over 1,000 years. It was prayed at the altar just a few minutes ago. You might, in fact, want to take the service leaflet home with you so that during this week you can pray this prayer and also meditate on it. The ancient prayers of the church tend to be simple, but they are also a treasure. And this is how we pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you did so love the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Grant that we may ponder in our hearts all that your Son has done for us, and steadfastly follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Remember your holy church throughout the world, and especially the churches united to us in sacred communion and life. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all ministers of your holy word and sacraments, that they may truly and faithfully serve you to the glory of your holy name and to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people. Lord, in your mercy. Guide and direct the President of the United States and the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature and all the rulers of the earth, that we and all the peoples of the earth may live quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy upon the sick and those who mourn, the forsaken and the despondent, the dying, and all those who are in any adversity, especially all persecuted Christians and all those for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy, we also remember before you all those who have departed this life in the faith of Christ, especially those most dear to us, whom we name in our hearts before you. And we pray that we may be made partakers with them in the glorious resurrection to life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, and grant that all we who shall here receive the most precious body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sins together with the gifts of life and salvation, may be sanctified in soul and body, and have our portion with all your saints in light. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.